Global Brothers. You've heard from the scholars and the Shiuch about the blessing of these days. I'd like to join in what they're saying, contribute to what's been said. And the greatest of Allah's creation is time. It's time. And time began when you created the heavens and the earth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person's lifespan is that time that they have. And using your time for the best purposes is very important. The heartbeat speaks to you, saying that all you have is a few minutes to live. The heart beats 70 times in a minute. So, and 4,200 heartbeats in an hour. And then 24 hours. And so on. In a year, about 30 million heartbeats, and so on. So it's foolish to waste time when we know this reality. Even someone who's section on Zuhud, the section of abstinence in Qutr al-Qulub, so that the reality of Zuhud is to be abstinent in restraining your caprice or your lower desires. That's the reality of Zuhud. To not desire that which, to reject the desires of your lower self, essentially. People can have abstinence in one thing and not in others. People can have abstinence concerning people's praise, while at the same time not be abstinent concerning wealth. People can be abstinent concerning food and not be abstinent. Ibrahim bin Adam, rahimahullah, the imam in this knowledge, he said, Zuhud is a three category. Zuhud, which is fard, zuhud, which is extra, and zuhud, which is safety. The zuhud, which is fard, is denying yourself that which is haram. This is compulsory upon everyone to deny themselves that which is haram. That which is extra is to deny that which is halal. Deny yourself that which is halal. Out of abstinence. To have abstinence concerning that which is halal. The third is to have, which is safety, is to have zuhud in the shubahat and things which are dubious. To deny yourself things that are dubious. In this, that there is safety in your deen. Then he mentions this, Ayyub al-Sakhtiyan, he says, Zuhud is basically to resign your affair completely to Allah. You sit in your house, if you're remaining in your house is for Allah, then you don't leave. Then if you decide to leave your house, then if you're leaving for the sake of Allah, then Allah's contentment is in that. Otherwise you return back to your house. So basically every action you do, you weigh up, is Allah pleased with this action, and then you continue in it. If not, then you do something else. Then if you're returning back to your house, in it there's a pleasure of Allah, then you carry on. If not, then you carry on your way, wandering on the path. And so on, he goes on. If you speak, is your speech pleasing to Allah? If not, then be silent. So basically, he's saying this is zuhud. Zuhud is making sure that Allah is pleased with every action you do. If not, then you stop. Hatim al-Asam said that zuhud is the beginning of zuhud is thiqa, is trust in Allah. The second is the middle stage is sabr, is patience, and the third is ikhlas, is sincerity. Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, was asked, how did these great people become imams? How did they reach their stations? He said, the sidq, with truthfulness. And then they said, what is sidq? He said, sidq is ikhlas. Truthfulness is sincerity. And they said, what is ikhlas? They said, is zuhud. Sincerity is zuhud, is abstinence. And then they said, what is zuhud, ya Abu Abdullah? And he lowered his head and said, ask the people of zuhud. Ask Bishop bin al-Harith, one of the great zahad of the time. Ask him, who am I to speak about this? This is Ahmad bin Hanbal speaking. Waqi' and Yusuf bin Asbat, they said, even if someone has abstinence in this time, then it wouldn't be, even if abstinence like Abu Dharr and Abu Darda amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we wouldn't call it abstinence, because in their time they had zuhud, they denied themselves that which is completely halal, which is purely halal. As for our time, there's no such thing as something which is purely halal. So we can't call it zuhud. We can't call someone denying themselves the halal. They can't call themselves zuhud because they're not denying themselves something which is purely halal. Sayyidina Al-Hasan Al-Basri, Imam Al-Imma, the Imam of the Imam, he said, أفضل لا شيء أفضل من رفض الدنيا. There's nothing better than refusing, turning your back on the dunya. Blessed with the commentary of Sayyidi Habib Umar, حفظه الله ونفعنا به الدارين. Alhamdulillah, the one who shows us immense goodness, his bounty continues to flow. in the inwardly and outwardly. And the most manifest of blessings was his sending forth to us the best of his slaves, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Made him the key to attaining, for the creation to attain mercy from Allah, the Imam of the people of spiritual realities, the beloved of Allah, the chosen one of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the one who is extremely generous, and he was never more generous than in Ramadan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Jibreel came, met him in Jibreel, he was more generous than the wind which brings rain. Allah send peace and blessings upon him and his companions and those who follow his path, and upon us with them, along with them. And our Prophet informed us the manifestation of his generosity when he's in the barzakh is his istighfar, is seeking forgiveness for his ummah in the spiritual realm. And we're in Ramadan, he remains in his station in the barzakh. His generosity continues to reach us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here we are reflecting upon what Sayyidina Abu Talib al-Makki says here. It's one of the great the signs of Allah who guides to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who clarifies the path of the people of Allah. Allah be pleased with him. When we reflect upon what he said, and the path of the great people of this ummah, Imam Haddad praises him, saying that the author of the Qut al-Qulub, that the greatest of people benefited from, is how Imam Haddad describes him. Qut al-Qulub. In our reading this book and that which is contained in it, we expose ourselves to attain the foundations of the means of attaining mercy, obtaining forgiveness, which are being our hearts being broken, and being aware of our bankruptcy, of our possessing nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And leaving behind, following the worst of people and the whisperings of the shaitan. Stopping ourselves from following them and going behind them and listening to what they call us to. And then this the desire to resemble the people of high ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the foundation, is that our hearts being broken. This is the foundation of attaining the mercy of Allah. And without this foundation, no people can't attain. We can't attain this mercy from Allah. So it's, so we read what the Sheikh, and we reflect on what the Sheikh says here. Maybe that we'll truly recognize our bankruptcy and our neediness in front of Allah. Then we raise ourselves above following the people of heedlessness and the people who are veiled, people who are turned away from the mercy of Allah, those who are content with the life of this dunya and who are heedless of the signs of Allah. These are their ending is the fire. Now that we take refuge from Allah and from Him. Here at the beginning he talks about the haqiqah, the reality of zuhud, the reality of abstinence. All good is in rejecting the hawa, rejecting the kabris. So the one who has fear of Allah and turns away from his hawa, Jannah, the paradise, is his abode, his resting place. The one who, when it, anyone who doesn't raise themselves from following their caprice, they will taste abasement. They will experience abasement. However high their status is outwardly, they will not be safe from abasement because they followed their caprice. The shit imam, that says that following the hawa, following the caprice is a sign of foolishness. However great you are in knowledge and action, Allah says to Daud, O Daud, I've made you my representative in the earth. So govern with justice on the earth and don't follow the hawa, don't follow the caprice. Because don't follow the hawa, don't follow the caprice, it will just take you away from the path of Allah. All those who deviate from the path of Allah, they have a severe punishment because they forgot the day of accounting. Most of the cause of destruction is following the hawa, following the caprice. People fight jihad, and all their efforts are ruined by the hawa, by the caprice. Perhaps there's someone who's amongst the ranks who's killed in the feasibility. Allah knows. Allah knows better what his intention is. Allah purifies from following the hawa, from the caprice. Allah purify. Make our caprice in submission to that what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought. None of you believe, as the Prophet says, none of you believe until your hawa, until your caprice follows that is in accordance with what I brought, the message which I brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ruh, the spirit of the nafs of the Lord itself is hawa, is caprice. So all good things are contained in rejecting the caprice, rejecting the hawa. Even a small act of worship, a bit of recitation of the Quran, dhikr, charity, its reward is great, and its gift from Allah is great, if it's pure of hawa, if it's pure of caprice. However great one someone's actions is, if hawa is mixed in with it, then this is the degree to which the reward is decreased. Freeing yourself from hawa is difficult, but it's easy for the ones that Allah makes it easy for. Allah make it easy for us. So we heard this more than once, that he says that the highest type of zuhud is denying the lower self, is it? Denying the hawa. And he said that people can have abstinence in some things and not others, in food and so on, but not in other things. He doesn't attain true zuhud, the reality of zuhud, until he denies his caprice. People are given zuhud in abstinence concerning food, concerning wealth, and so on. And some people, they can't have abstinence in some things, but they can't have abstinence concerning food. If the food isn't cooked on time, isn't cooked exactly in the right way, then it's the yomok. It's like the yomok yama, basically. And we're here fasting, and we're asking that Allah removes us from this halal, inshallah. But some people, they can't control themselves when it comes to food. But then when the stomach's full, that's it. They're happy. Nothing else is a problem. They can be abstinent about everything else except food. And then some people can have abstinence concerning wealth. They're not bothered about wealth, about money. But all that they can't control themselves concerning status. They can leave money and food, but they want status. They can't bear not to have status. Being the president or the manager of this or that. So they're slaves of positions in society, of status, of reputation. That's their. They can't restrain themselves concerning anything. But then, if someone has zuhud concerning their lower self, concerning their hawa, they've contained all of zuhud. They've attained all zuhud. They've attained all abstinence. This is the haqiqa of zuhud. This is the reality of zuhud. Said in Ramadan, said Rasulullah, we believe in you. We bear witness that what you brought is true. Cut off who you wish, and make peace with who you wish. Make war with who you wish. Take from our wealth how much you wish, and that which you take is more beloved than that which you leave behind. This is what Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ma'ad. So he had no desire for wealth or status. I think the wealth that which the Prophet ﷺ took was more beloved than the wealth which he took behind. We are patient in the face of hardship. If you said, let's enter the sea, we'll enter the sea behind you. We believe in you, and he was a young man at this time, in his 30s, Sayyidina Sa'd. Prophet ﷺ, his face was lit up. Like it was a piece of the moon. He said, go forward and have good tidings, because Allah has given me good tidings of victory over one of the two groups, whether it be this is Badr, whether it be the caravan or the army. Khalas, the victory was guaranteed at that point. Prophet said, as if I can see the places where the kuffar are going to die at Badr. He pointed out the places where they're going to die, where they're going to be killed. So, kuffar of Quraysh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah be pleased with Sayyidina Sa'd. And that's when he died. And here the throne shook. The throne shook when he died, radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ma'ad. It's not earth or a palace or a building. It's the throne of Allah shook. The throne of Allah shook when he died. Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ma'ad came. So the throne shook out of joy at the coming of Sa'd, the ruh of Sa'd. Jibril came down and informed the Prophet ﷺ of this. The throne of the Al-Muzzam was shaken because of the death of Sa'd radiallahu anhu. Then he mentioned some of the statements of the great imams that tell us that zuhud, the abstinence, is about making sincere in our relationship with Allah and our dealings with Allah. So zuhud is similar to ikhlas in this meaning. It's similar to sincerity, and sincerity is similar to being vigilant of Allah. Then he mentions this what Sayyidina Abu Ayyub As-Sakhtiani mentioned. Every action that someone does, he weighs it up. Is Allah pleased with this? If he goes out, is Allah pleased with it? If not, he goes back. If he gives money in charity, if giving it is for Allah, Allah is pleased with it, then he gives it. If not, then he keeps it. He speaks. If Allah is pleased with him speaking, then he speaks. If not, he's quiet, he's silent. If Allah is not pleased with him silent, then he speaks. This is the path to Allah. This is the path to Allah. Is weighing up your actions to see whether Allah is pleased with them at every stage. Don't claim, don't make claims. So that Hatim al-Aslam said the first stage of Zuhud is trust. The middle stage is patience, and the end is ikhlas, sincerity. So someone attains ikhlas and they attain all zuhud. They attain zuhud. Allah give us an amen. Ahmad al-Hanbal radiallahu anhu said, he was asked about how people reach what they reach. He said, with sidq, was truthfulness. And they said, what's truthfulness? He said, the essence of sidq is ikhlas. The essence of truthfulness is sincerity. And the essence of sincerity is zuhud, is abstinence. And then he said, what is zuhud? They said, ask the people of zuhud. He said, Ahmed, like Bishop Ibn Harith. If you want to know about zuhud, ask the people of zuhud, like people like Bishop Ibn Harith. Don't ask me, I'm not one of them. And he was one of the best of them. He said, it's not my speciality to talk about zuhud. Ask the people who are specialists in that field. Though he was one of them, Ahmed, but he's the imam of the people of Sunnah, and also the imam of Ahlus Sawf. And his books of the people of Tasawwuf are full of his statements, Sayyidina Ahmed bin Hanbal. So Allah transcendent is the giver, the bestower. Abu Yazid said that Zuhud is not that you don't possess anything, is that nothing possesses you. It's not just that you don't possess anything, it's that nothing possesses you, nothing controls you. You're not a slave to anything. This is Zuhud, this is abstinence. So you don't possess anything, in another you witness Allah possesses everything, and then you're not possessed by anything. You're not controlled by anything, you're not a slave to anything. Allah look upon us. Which makes us desire, all our desire to resemble these salihin. Keep the company of the salihin as long as you live, they're the best of companions. And if you want to attain the station, then avoid disobedience and be generous in spending. Take advantage of the time that you have left, and be broken for the sake of Allah, be low yourself for the sake of Allah. So the real Zahid, the real absent one, is the one who's a true slave. He doesn't see himself possessing anything, and he's not possessed by anything. Look at these glasses which I wear. They give me the ability to see further. It's not permissible for me to wear these to look at a Muslim with this contempt, or look at a woman who's not permissible for me to look at. Allah didn't give me them for this sake. Allah didn't give me these blessings. Allah gave me the blessings for me to use them to please Him. One who doesn't know that. Doesn't know that Allah, everything is possessed by Allah. If he loses something, he becomes upset. Does he realize everything belongs to Allah? The one who loses something and doesn't have this trust in Allah, he becomes upset. He doesn't realize everything is in the hands of Allah. It's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "He will come on the Yawm al-Qiyam with actions like mountains, the mountains of Tihama, like mountains, and they will be ordered to the fire." He said, "What?" They said, "Why is this? They are people that prayed, Ya Rasulullah." He said, "Yes, they are people that prayed and fasted. They even had some Qiyam al-Layl. They prayed, but when dunya was offered to them, they jumped upon it. That's why they were thrown into the fire." The Arifin said that the meaning of zuhud is to leave arranging one's affairs, choosing one's affairs, and just have taslim, have submission and contentment with Allah's decree. And there was four of the awliya, they got together. There's the night before Eid, and they said, one of them said, "I'm going to pray Eid in Mecca." One said, "I'm going to pray in such a place." And another said, and the fourth and the best of them said, I'm only going to pray in this place where we are now, this message we are now. And they said, "You're the most knowledgeable because they wanted to pray in different places." It was hawa, was based on caprice. They had the ability to go and pray where they want. Allah gave them that, but in this was following their caprice. Every slave is tested according to their status. When their souls become pure, their bodies follow their ruh, well, this, and they can go, and thus they could pray in any place they wished. So everything is in the hands of the spirit, not in the hands of the body. But the reality of this movement was, there was in that, there was shahab, there was a kind of desire in that. So walking on water and flying in the sky, there's a shahwa in this. What does it benefit you in unveiling the secrets of the knowledge of Allah? Does it bring you any close to attaining the reality of Allah's pleasure? Whether you fly in the sky or walk on water, what's this result in the end of the day? What rank does it raise you in the sight of Allah? something which raises you in the last sight, this is what you should be seeking. There's no benefit or there's no merit in being able to do these things. The shayateen can fly and do these things. There's no merit in itself. That's why the arifin, the knowers of Allah, they're able to do things, but they prefer to just take the means and start maybe suffer in the process out of just to show their ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show that they're slaves of Allah. So everyone is tested according to their status. Ordinary people don't have these. Their test is different from the ones who reach this level of ma'rifah, knowledge of Allah. That's why the Prophet says, "Allah Sallam, the prophets are the ones who are tested most. Then those who come, then the ones who are closest to them, then the ones who are closest to them." Sayyidina Junaid was asked about Zuhud, and he said there's two meanings, an inner and an outer meaning. The outer meaning is hate, rejecting or disliking possessions and not seeking that which you don't attain, which you don't possess. As for the inner, it is having no desire in the heart for the dunya, basically, you know. Some people they're given the ability to walk on water, and other people they died of thirst even though their stations were half far ahead of them. The Arifin, who choose to resign their affairs to Allah, they rise in status more than those who don't choose and make their own choices. The real Zahid, the real absent ones, and everything is the same in his heart. Whether he possesses or whether he doesn't, whether he's being praised or whether he's being blamed. The Zahid, his heart is, it's all equal in the heart of the Zahid. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said to a man, have you reached a middle position? He said, how can I do this? He said that praise and blame are the same in your sight. This is to attain that, and that's why in the hadith of Harada, which I mentioned before, when he expressed the reality of iman, he said, my lower self has no desire for the dunya. So the first thing he mentioned was zuhd, the first thing he mentioned was abstinence, and then he mentioned that stones and gold, earth and gold, are equal in his sight. Then he mentioned Mushahad, then he mentioned what he witnessing of the throne and the Jannah and the fire and so on. These are all stations of Zuhud, of abstinence. Abu Sulaiman al-Darani said that the one who's busy with his self, then he's too busy to be busy with other people. As for someone who's busy with them, with other people, they'll be busy with that, with other people in their grave, and in the next life. Anyone who's busy with wealth in this life will be busy with wealth. His mind will be busy with wealth in the next life, in the Akhirah. People who their whole life is spent looking at other people, what other people are doing, they'll be busy with those things in the next life. On Yom Kippur, they'll be asking for their rights from other people. Other people will be taking their rights from them. This is what they'll be busy with on Yom Kippur, because they're busy with other people in this life. Now, as for the one who's busy with Allah, he'll be busy in the grave with Allah. All his concern will be with Allah. The mercy of Allah, the bounty of Allah. So anything you want to be busy with in the next life, be busy with it in this life. From now, start from now. Be busy. You want to be busy with Allah, then be busy with Allah in the next life. In this life, you'll be busy with Him in the next life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Salman just finished what he's saying. He said that the one who's busy with himself is too busy to be concerned with people, and the one who's busy with his Lord is too busy to be concerned with himself. This is the station of the Arif in the knows of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ asked who are the best of people. He said, the one who hates the dunya and loves the akhirah, loves the next life. So these are two opposites: loving the dunya and hating loving the akhirah, hating the dunya. They come together. The one who makes Allah his concern, then Allah removes all other concerns from him. So his ham is wahid, his concern is one. Sayyidina Musa was revealed to Sayyidina Musa, the one who loves the dunya, Allah hates the one who loves the dunya. The one who hates the dunya, Allah loves. And the one who honors the dunya, Allah lowers. And the one who lowers the dunya, Allah raises or honors. The scholars say that zuhud in the dunya is implementing the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking everything from its correct place according to the Sharia, and taking it from its correct place and putting it in its correct place. So the one who doesn't do this has followed their hawa, followed their caprice. Sufyan Thawri and Sufyan ibn Umayyah asked, can a man be zahid, be absent if he has wealth? They said yes. If he's tested and is patient, and if he's blessed and has gratitude. He can have wealth, but he has to be patient when he's tested, and has to have gratitude when he's blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it doesn't matter whether he has wealth or not. How great is wealth for a pious person? So it doesn't mean not possessing wealth. You can be abstinent while still possessing wealth. or pious wealth is good for a pious person. You know, wealth taken from the halal, from a legal source, is a blessing for a pious person. He uses it in the right way. He spends it in the right way, seeking the pleasure of Allah, as Allah describes. Prophet says, Allah gives the dunya to the one He loves and the one He doesn't love, but He only gives the deen to the one He loves. And the one, if He loves someone, He gives him the deen. And the one who's been given the dunya by Allah, let him not disobey his beloved and follow his caprice. Allah give us the tawfiq to reach these ranks that we've talked about by His bounty and His mercy. And this is the end of the book of Zuhd, section on Zuhd. And the next station is the station of tawakkul, of trust in Allah, which is the 7th of. Allah give us a secret and the blessing of this station. We move on to. Allah says, oh, you believe fasting has been prescribed here as it was prescribed for those who came before you, that you attain taqwa. Bedouin came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, he said, the five prayers. What he said, the Bedouin said, what does Allah make of us? He said, the five prayers. And he said, fasting. And he said, just the month of Ramadan. And he said, well, how about the zakah? The Prophet has informed him of that which is compulsory upon him. And he said, at every point, I'm not going to do more than that which is compulsory. And he said, and the Prophet said, he will succeed if he's true in what he's saying, or he will enter Jannah if he's true what he's saying. He said, I'm not going to increase and do anything more than the fard. The Prophet said, he will enter Jannah if he. Sayyidah Aisha said that the Quraysh used to fast the day of Ashura in the Jahiliyyah. And the Prophet said, all the people to fast it until Ramadan was made compulsory. And then after that, he said, about Ashura, whoever wishes may fast it, and whoever doesn't. So it's a different opinion. One opinion is that there was no compulsory fasting before Ramadan, the other opinion is that Ashura was compulsory before Ramadan. And he arrived in Rabi', the month of Rabi', in the first year of the Hijrah. So only 1 year would have Ashura been compulsory, if it was. So. So whether or not it's fard, the sunnah remains Ashura. As he said in the last year of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I live to the next year, then I'll fast the 9th along with the 10th. So he continued fasting the 10th until, but it wasn't fard. about the merits of fasting. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fasting is a shield. Speak wrongly or offensively when they're fasting. If someone has attacked someone, so say that I am fasting in Islam, and that the leftover the smell of the mouth of the fasting person is more beautiful than the scent of musk. And then you Allah accept our fasting, make amongst the elite of the people of fasting. Fasting is a shield. One ration is a field, it's a shield from the fire. Another ration is a shield from fighting, or from the fire. Another ration, he said that fasting is a shield unless you break that shield, or pierce that shield. He said, how do you pierce it? By lying, or backbiting. So fasting is a shield which defends you from all kinds of wrong things. As long as you don't pierce that shield by lying or backbiting. So one of the main aims of fasting is to purify our character. So that we purify ourselves. We raise our speech and our actions, our interactions and so on. Let him not speak in a rude way. And if someone attacks him or insults him, then let him say, Inni sa'im, I'm fasting. Twice. Either once to himself, or the second time he raises his voice. First time he addresses himself to restrain himself, and the second time he says it out loud to alert the person that he's attacking or who's attacking him. Or say what you want, attack me, speak to me, I'm fasting. So teach that person a lesson. Well, not one opinion is that if it's a compulsory fast, he says it out loud. If it's a recommended fast, he says it to himself to conceal his good actions. So the odor that comes from the mouth of the fasting person is sweeter on the side of Allah than the smell of musk. So just like you prefer musk over other scents and other smells, Allah prefers this over others. The secret behind this is that it's ikhlas, it's sincerity, that person leaves their food and their desires for my sake, Allah says, for my sake. Fasting is mine, and I reward people accordingly. Khan Hudhayfa, saying that the hadith mentions that people are tried by their families and their wealth, and that one of the things that wipes out their sins is fasting and charity and sadaqah. And Ramadan is a wipes out the sins. One Ramadan to the next wipes out the sins between it, as long as someone avoids grave sins. So Umar asked Hudhayfa for a hadith about fitna, and he mentioned this hadith about sin, related to sins and kafara, and wiping out the sins. But he said, I didn't mean this, I meant fitna, meaning tribulation amongst the Muslims. And he said, and he mentioned that there's a door breaking the way, stopping fitna from entering until it becomes broken. What was meant by this is that Sayyidina Umar was the bab. Desire to follow these trends or these desires. So they become, you're in the concern and the care of Allah. They protect you from which during Ramadan. He said, should I obey my father? He said, no. Have you said, no, don't obey your father in that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars are in consensus that fasting Ramadan is compulsory. Every Muslim who has had intellect and has reached puberty and is able to fast and is not traveling, fasting is compulsory upon them. Who is pregnant or breastfeeding, it's permissible for her to break her fast if she feels harm to herself or to her baby. As someone who is sick and someone who is traveling, also they're allowed to break their fast. So scholars differ about whether it's better to fast when you're traveling or not. The Prophet ﷺ, it's not from piety to fast when you're traveling. The scholars differ on this. They agree that fasting becomes compulsory either by seeing the moon of Ramadan or by the completion of 30 days of Sha'ban. The majority of scholars say that If the new moon is sighted in one place, it becomes compulsory for everyone to fast. Imam Shafi and his followers said no, it's only compulsory upon the people in that area to fast. And the four scholars agree that it's compulsory to intend fasting. It's not valid to fast except with intention. The four scholars, the four schools. As for other scholars, they differ.
Yeah.
Sayyidina Abu Huraira was of the opinion that up in a state of janabah, in a state of major ritual impurity, then you can't fast that day. But then he went back on that opinion when Sayyidina Aisha informed that that was not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At times he woke up in that state and then fasted sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They agree that lying and backbiting are extremely disliked in fasting. They don't break the fast. Some of the scholars said it breaks your fast to lie and to backbite. Mamazah. Some say if you backbite during your fast, then you have to make up that day's fasting. Put fear in the hearts. For Allah in that. Now we're going to finish the book. And he is the one who sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth. This guidance is of two types. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us with guidance. That we, by him we reach it, we go to Allah. And we seek the pleasure of Allah. Muhammad the one sent with guidance. So Allah guided us by Muhammad. So we praise Allah and thank Him for that. Allah make us amongst us who follow His guidance. Allah says to the Prophet, you guide to a straight path. The path of Allah, to whom belongs the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the heavens and the earth. So we thank Allah who sent His slave to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was sent with truth as well, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the one that greatest manifests this truth is a noble Quran. Sent you with the truth as a bring bearer of good tidings and a warner, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the two types of guidance here. The first is general guidance for the majority of people, which is following the sacred law, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outwardly embodied. The second is special guidance for the elites, which is traveling the spiritual path which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inwardly followed. The second cannot be attained without attaining the first. And what is meant by truth is the Qur'an, could be the Qur'an or literal truth, the opposite of falsehood. Affirmation or tahqiq is affirming acts and supplying evidence to support them. This was the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, affirming the realities of the existence of Allah and the resurrection, which he did by reciting to them the book of Allah. He is the one, as Allah says, who sent amongst the unlettered ones a messenger from amongst them, who recites to them his verses, purifies them and teaches them the book and the wisdom. The station of Allah, the station the Prophet hasn't reached, cannot be reached by anyone else. This is the wilaya that's mentioned, which is translated as high station. It refers to the special station of the Prophet ﷺ in the sight of his Lord, which no other prophet, let alone ordinary human, can come close to. Then he approached and came closer and was at a distance of two bow's lengths or closer. Then he revealed to his slave what he wished to reveal. That's what Allah says of him. In fact, all the prophets and saints receive their spiritual assistance and sustenance directly from the Prophet ﷺ. As Imam Busayri says in the Burda, all of them are seeking from the Messenger of Allah a handful from the ocean or a sip from the rain. So Imam Ibn Arabi says that every prophet attains their spiritual assistance from the spirit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every chosen one, he receives his assistance, his spiritual assistance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lights of his message sallallahu alaihi wasallam have not ended with his death. They continue. And every prophet, in spite of the fact they came before him, they're really representatives of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why they're all together under his banner on Yawm al-Qiyamah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no prophet enters the paradise until he enters sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's the one who is given status over all. Except for a few scholars whose opinion is not to be taken, that he's the best of creations, Allah is him. Sayyidina Jibreel had to love the one who's reached this station, and after the eyes of those other has slept. He describes this station, this Qudu, and then at the end he says, يَمْتَدُوا مِنْ بَحْرِ الْبُحُورِ مُحِيطًا خَيْرًا أَنْنَامِ بِعَاجِلْ وَأَجِلْ. All he attains is from the sea of the ocean of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
فالشوق قد أربى على السرائر وفايت ربعي يا نسيم الأسحار من بعد ما نامت عيون الأغيار عسى معك لي يا نسيم أخبار عن حب الأحبة في الفؤاد خيام لا بل جرى مني مجاري الدم وكلما برق الحمى تبسم فضاع دموع العين في المحاجر مضى زمان بما بقلبي من هوى مخامر يا ساكن أبو قاب دحين يد وكانت من ارطور التجلي قلب كل عارف ومهبط الأسرار ولا ربي إني يا ذا الصفات العليا قائم بالفنا أريد عطية تحت باب الرجا وقفت بذلي فأغذني بالقصد قبل المنية والرسول الكريم باب رجائي فهو غوثي وغوث كل البرية فأغذني به وبلغ فؤادي كل ما يرتجيه منه منية واجمع شامل في سرور ونور وابتهاج بالطلعة الهاشمية مع صدق الإقبال في كل أمر قد قصدنا والصدق في كل نية ربي فاسلك بنا سبيل رجال سلكوا في التقى طريقا سويا واهدنا ربنا لما قد هديت سادة العارفين أهل المزية واجعل العلم مقتدانا بحكم الذوق في فهم سر معنى المعية واحفظ القلب